Team 33.
Abysmal. The worst thing I can say about it was that, yeah, there were loud, loud boos at halftime, but they were almost being clapped off at full time because the fans nearly felt sorry for them.
Team 33. Live every Friday night on OTB Sports Radio. Download the podcast now in the OTB Sports app.
Three wins on the bounce now, but hard, tough start to the season, I presume, over the last few weeks.
Yeah, we're playing Perpignan tomorrow, so it's game 9. So it's season is well underway, and it's a brilliant championship. Every week you got to go, and we played Toulon last Sunday, and we play tomorrow, and we play Friday night, and then there's a break for the November internationals for 2 weeks, which is great. So everyone can't wait really till next weekend.
Yeah, and a big win last weekend, as you said. Over those first few weeks, is it just that the opposition, like you mentioned, the quality, obviously, of the league, is it just the opposition are so good and you can just square that stuff off and go about your business? Or is there a lot of inward looking over that time?
Oh, no, we were definitely suffering from a hangover from last season. There's no doubt about that, because which is normal, really, I think. I think losing one final is bad and it's depressing, but losing two is pretty difficult to handle or to get an understanding on. So a lot of boys and staff are probably looking for answers, but sometimes in sport there aren't answers. And I think we had really tough opponents. We had a red card in one game, we were away in other games. So the great thing about it, there was never any panic. I think what's been established among us has been that we understand that we're a good team. I think once you probably understand that, it gives you probably an opportunity to grow, to get better. But there were some frank discussions, because where the club is, it's not a Toulouse, it's not used to winning, and it has never won anything. It was in the second division 6 seasons ago. So with certain people, there's a different mental capacity. So you know, you're just trying to piece that all together, Adrian, and when I'm in a new role, it is a new role in terms of a title, but in terms of how, I suppose, my functions, not much had changed. But perception sometimes isn't reality on the outside. So you're just trying to manage that as well. And you're obviously frustrated, because we understand we're in a results business, and when the results don't go your way, you try and fix it.
Mm. Mayo were in my mind as you were chatting there about, like, teams who can get to finals, and like there are very few who can get over the line, and like the two competitions that you're talking about, it obviously ends up being the best team in Europe that's gone on to win both of them. There's not a lot of room at that table for everybody, and it doesn't sound like that's the sort of thing that, like, I suppose maybe the question is, in hindsight, is there a different way to deal with that, or is that just, do you have to go through that grieving process?
No, you don't. I think actually one of the learnings would be too, I think the first final is probably the easiest one to win, and other people would say, well, you got to get to a final and lose a final to win a final. No, I don't agree. I think you look at Twickenham, we had a red card, but we were probably very, very close to getting that result, even with 14 men and even with a probably a contestable decision at the end. But you got to take the referee out of it. That's always been our mantra, but I agree with you. I think when you look back now, you know what I mean, I think you really have to understand finals footy is very, very different to a league campaign. I think me included, we put such emphasis on getting to the final that some of the feedback has been quite interesting on the fact that, well, the goal was to get the Stade de France on the 26th of June. Well, yeah, it was, but you know what I mean? We understand that getting to the final, usually, if you're a competitor, you get to final, you want to do the business. But some people in the squad were of the understanding that, okay, we got to the Stade de France on the 26th of June, so that the goal was achieved. We didn't have to win, boss. I was there kind of, ooh, I don't really see it like that. But it's an amazing learning for me in the fact that, you know, in the fact that if you probably don't set out your vision very, very clearly, or never assume that everyone was understood that we were going to a final to win it, then people might think that there's a little bit of leeway here. Well, no, we're here, we're in a final, that's good enough.
When, so, when somebody says that in a team meeting,
it's brilliant, honest feedback too, Adrian. You know, it's a kind of a courageous guy to say that, and you got to respect that, because you got to understand that some of these guys are 25 years younger than you, so that's okay too. That's the squad you're coaching. This is what's happening. So you can't give out or moan. This is the culture or the environment that I created. So I take that on the chin.
And how do you go about remedying that, Ronan? Are you almost looking for them to feel more pain as the off season goes on?
No, I think there is naturally a grieving process. I think everyone deals with it very differently. I don't think there's anything in the manuscript about that. What's been, I suppose, evident this year is that I'd be a fan of the mental game, so you have to bring that in at a level where, so I suppose, the fascinating thing for me and for in France is the fact that it's not known as in the same language. It's you're thinking in English, translating into French, and trying to deliver your point or your message in French, and one word can really mess up your message. So that's very challenging, but you're also trying to get your staff and a sports psychologist on board. But with that too, you have to have your pre-meeting and your meeting to make sure that it's your message and not his or her message in terms of what they want out of the session, because it's a very, I suppose, delicate subject in the fact that to grow as sports people, it's very easy, I suppose, to monitor the physical side, but the mental side, for me, it's little and often, but you got to keep chipping away. And then hopefully when that period of pressure arrives, and sometimes pressure, as we know, in sport may only arrive once or twice a season, but it hit us in Stade de France right between the eyes against Toulouse in the second final, and I knew in the stand within 10 minutes that we're off here. It's going to be a long night, and it was only, I think, 10 points of a difference, but it felt like 100 points.
To spool it forward to the start of this season, the expectations that you created last season, you mentioned earlier on the change in your own role and the new staff that you brought in, did that mean then that over those first few weeks that you were, that pressure, suddenly you were like, shit, this is really on me now? Is that?
I don't think so. It's always, I suppose, I played number 10 for Munster in Ireland, and I love the Dan Carter expression, the pressure is a privilege. That doesn't really come into my head, Adrian, or making changes in the staff pressure. It doesn't really, there'll always be pressure, but it's how you look at that. It's incredibly enjoyable. It's what I love doing. It's very, I'm passionate about rugby. I love it. So, like, in terms of a new role or new responsibilities and new pressure, no, that doesn't kind of come into my head. I'm aware of what I'm doing, but it doesn't really change. I think the biggest challenge I face is probably the pressure I put myself under. So I'm very happy with that, and I enjoy that. But I'm human after all, in the fact that what I insist on is good preparation. If we have good preparation, and honestly, after we had one win out of five, I think at the start of the season, but the mood was very good. I think my relationship with the players, or my behaviour every week, didn't really change, because I was happy with what I saw, and people go, wow, that's, he's got low standards for winning one game out of five. But I think there were a few reasons why we were one out of five, and I was kind of happy with what I was seeing. And once you're happy with what you're seeing, you can accept it. But the Montpellier game, I think we crossed the line where there was a lack of desire for the jersey. Once there was a lack of desire, it was big time on the head coach, and I had to address it, and I don't need to have a week like that again. But the response has been great.
How do you go about addressing that?
I think you have to be good at video analysis. You have to be really accurate with the clips you present. And I think you got to ask a lot of hard questions of yourself first, of your staff secondly, and of your playing group thirdly. And once, I think, you probably show vulnerability, people are on board. And I think that we had a difficult week, but since then it's been good.
With the new gig you mentioned earlier on, what's the lived experience of now? You have a few months under the belt. Is it exactly what you expected, or how have you found it?
No, it hasn't been. It's been incredibly time consuming, and it's the first time I've probably experienced that. In fact, that I've always felt capable of walking out. I struggled with walking out and leaving, I wouldn't say work, but leaving my rugby position for the last 3 or 4 months. But it's not sustainable what I'm doing, so I've got to be better at that. Donnick O'Ryan is in, and I'm kind of introducing him to coaching, and I'm trying to get him to involved in something that I hope he'll love. But at the minute, I'm not creating the right conditions for him. So in that regard, I'd love to hear what his vision of what's happening at the minute is. Because
why do you say we'll have to get him on and talk to him about that? But what's your instinct?
My instinct is that the hours are too long. It's not that enjoyable, and we could do it differently, you know. But I think we haven't established a routine yet between us. We barely get to see each other, and that's not good, because he's into a new role, I'm into a new role, but we're just trying to figure it out, I suppose. And you're learning on the run as well, and that's what happens, I suppose. The coaching group lacks experience, but it doesn't lack hunger, and it doesn't lack energy, and it doesn't lack, I suppose, the capacity to be able to do however we want to do it, which excites me.
Do you accept that that's just a fact of life as to where you're at with that new gig now, and that's just something that you have to work through, and there's no other way around it? Or
yeah, I do, and I enjoy that as well. I think I'm not a guy for staying in your lane. I've clearly identified roles and responsibilities within the staff, but I think a dynamic coaching group has the capacity, which Donnick O'Ryan is brilliant at, throwing curveballs left, right and centre, and that's how you get better.
Can I ask Ronan, obviously Donnick O'Ryan's coming in and learning from you. Who are you learning from the most at the moment, or who do you talk to if you've got an issue, or not so much an issue, but if you're looking to kind of tease something out or try and continue your own development as a coach?
Yeah, it's a great question. I probably still have the Crusaders framework as my sounding board, and it's obviously a completely different competition and different framework. But yeah, I've created a really good relationship with the playing staff and the coaching group there, so that would be my, I suppose, personal development.
You'd send a text down to the gang in Crusaders?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, or just pick up the phone, you know. I think it's the beauty of the free WhatsApp. So these days on.
Yeah, bit of a stupid question there. I think to literally pick up the phone. And is it a constant thing? I guess you're probably at the stage as well, Ronan, where you are still actively looking to improve, while at the same time people are looking to you within the system saying, this guy is the head honcho, and this guy needs to have all the answers in a way. Is there ever any sort of tension there in your own head, between those two little roles?
No, you're right, but it's, I suppose you're 10 weekends in a row, and that's one of probably the things I can get better at. And the fact too would be, do you do a review after 5 blocks, or do you do a review after 10 blocks? But it's been pretty hectic in terms of review preview on the bounce. But like, if there's something that you struggle with, which I obviously struggle with plenty of, I suppose, subjects in the game, I have good people. Even, you know, I mean, there's a lot of coaches too in Paul and Jerry Flannery, Stuart Lancaster, guys like that that are very, very open to chatting about rugby.
Did you blow the top last weekend, or what happened with the fourth official?
No, completely. I was making a joke, I think, in the fact that if there was probably a week where I didn't deserve a sanction, it was last week, because sometimes you get a little bit hot-headed in the French league, which is something I need to get better at as well. No, it was the fact that I didn't do my paperwork. I didn't notified the officials that I was you have to put it on, like write it into a playing sheet and present it to the fourth official before the game. And I told my manager, I said, no, I'm going upstairs today. I did go upstairs, and I went upstairs for 60 minutes, and then I came down, and he said to me that you can't stand there. And I said, okay, I'll go into the dugout. I went into the dugout, but then I infringed on. I came out towards the side of the piss once or twice, so I'm going to face a hearing about that.
All right, we'll watch during the week. Before we let you away, we wanted to ask you about the squad. Obviously, is gathered ahead of the Novembers, and Johnny is there, and there's a lot of chat about him for France 2023. He'll have turned 38 that summer. And that's the sort of question mark in people's mind. And we don't know about form and injuries, obviously, in the run into that. So there's no point in sort of getting into a huge speculation about whether he starts or not. But in terms of being involved at that age, at that stage, all good by you? Or what's your thoughts on Sexton, 38, World Cup?
I think that's, you know, I would look at it, the question differently. What's Johnny has proven at the start of this season is that he's a serious competitor. I like his language. He said, I'm taking it game by game, and that's what you got to do at that age. If he's the best game by game, then someone's got to take it from him, and we know how much of a competitor he is. I like his mentality. That's the reality. You can build for the future, but in test rugby, then if you're building for the future as a coach, you may not have a job. So Johnny has said that I want to play, and he's proved that he's the best at the minute. Whether that lasts for 2 years, I think none of us know, and he probably doesn't know either.
The only thing about the game by game bit, right, like even from an RFU point of view, in 5 or 6 months' time, they're going to have to sit down and go, well, what are we going to do? Are we going to go again here? And they'll have to make a call on that. It seems likely at this point, like he probably is going to get that centralised contract all the way.
2 years is a long time, Adrian, an awful long time in sport. It can change very, very quickly. And I think what is great at the minute for me is the fact that it's Johnny's 100 cap, and he deserves and he's earned a massive day for his family, for himself, to because as players who have done that, it's a very prestigious, exclusive club, and he deserves to start that game for what he has done. And I think you'll see then that it'll be every game after that will be judged on those values, because it is very, very difficult to play test rugby consistently well at that age. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. And who knows, 36. You 36, you retired?
I thought it was 35, but Jess said it was 36, but I'm questioning it.
So you've been chatting at home saying, what age was I again? Jesus,
yeah,
I was done at 36.
Yeah, playing, I was done. Definitely, yeah. It was difficult. I played Clermont Fofana at 12, and his feet were incredibly good, and I was an old man, and I was soft and sore. It was hard, but you can do the games. It's just the training. You need a really understanding coach, you know.
Yeah, you were 36 years and 2 months old for that Clermont game, just in case it ever comes up again, Ronan.
Was he?
I was going to own for the facts.
Well, I was going to me via Wikipedia, so we'll double check that.
Yeah. Right, listen, the first of many. Good man.
See ya.
Best of luck tomorrow. Thanks a million. Cheers, Ronan.